The U.S. Federal Reserve on Wednesday lifted its benchmark rate by 0.25 percentage point, which marked the second hike of the year. It also upgraded its forecast from a total of 3 hikes this year to 4 amid an improving economy, failing unemployment, and slightly stronger inflation. And now we can bring in Professor Richard Cooper, who teaches international economics at Harvard University, for more. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thank you so much for joining our station. It's the first time in 10 years that the U.S. benchmark interest rate has shot up 2% range. And Fed Chairman Jerome Powell said that the economy is doing very well and people are finding jobs. But what's your take on this decision?
I think it's probably overdue. But anyway, no big surprise. It was anticipated by the markets, it was foreshadowed at the last meeting, and so no big surprise at all with this recent decision.
And the Fed also suggested that there will be 2 more hikes on the way before the year ends. And do you think this is likely to be followed through?
It depends on the economy. The Fed is does not make long-term contracts. It looks at the economy at every meeting, every 6 weeks, and makes a decision. So the Fed is now forecasting its own decisions. But if there's a radical change, either in strengthening or in weakening the economy, the Fed is free to change its decision. So this is an indicator, but not a contract for 2 rises in the future.
So the Fed also upgraded its GDP growth forecast to 2.8%, up 0.1 percentage point from its March projection. And how optimistic are you about this economy conditions in the U.S. remaining in good shape?
Well, I'm not myself a professional forecaster. I read the forecasts, I pay attention to them, but I don't have any independent judgment on them. The Fed has a large staff which looks at these questions every 6 weeks, actually continuously, and so I accept its judgment in a strong economy, slightly stronger than at the last meeting. But as you may know, we have many professional forecasters. There actually is quite a range of forecasts, ranging from as low as 2% to above 3%. So the Fed is just in the middle of the range.
As you mentioned, you know, a lot of forecasters, they do feel it's going to be better. But since, well, I am not in U.S. and people in residents in Seoul or Korea are not in the U.S., they don't really know or feel if the economy is getting stronger. So if you could tell me, the people in U.S., you know, regular citizens, do they feel the economy will be stronger?
Well,
I'm just wondering.
I think, you know, it depends on where you are and what you're doing. These are macroeconomic indicators, the inflation rate, the growth rate, the unemployment rate, and of course the U.S. is a large and diverse country. So these are averages for the country as a whole, and there are differences from place to place. Unemployment for the country as a whole is exceptionally low. 3.8% is the current thing, but there are parts of the country where it's higher than that and people don't feel the change. Other parts of the country where job vacancies greatly exceed job seekers. And so, again, I emphasize these are averages, and the Fed has to base itself on averages, but it's a very diverse country, and you find many areas that are weak and areas that are stronger than average.
And Professor, as I mentioned in the show earlier, the tension on trade between China and U.S. are getting intense. And we heard during the weekend that President Trump will put 25% tariffs on $50 billion worth of Chinese goods, which are due to come into effect on the 6th of July. And how do you think this will affect the investor sentiment that was already a bit jittery over the Fed rate hike?
Well, first, I think this is an absolutely terrible decision by Trump. Secondly, he's very erratic, so we won't know whether we have the tariffs until they're actually imposed. And the Chinese government has said after they're imposed, the Chinese government will retaliate with its tariffs. I think the combination of the two on $50 billion each way of trade is must unsettle many investors severely, because this is maybe only the first round, maybe the last round. Trump has threatened more tariffs, particularly on autos, but he has not levied them yet. And so we live in an exceptionally uncertain period in terms of trade. And the uncertainties are the usual ones of growth in various economies, but it's compounded greatly these days by the Trump administration and its erratic behavior.
So, Professor, do you actually see any improvement possible between U.S. and China?
Well, it's always possible that Chinese will make an offer which Trump will not be fully satisfied with, but he will accept as being the best he can do, and both sides will back down. That's a possibility, and we can't rule it out. But it's also possible that on just July 6th, the Trump administration will impose the tariffs, in which case I expect before the end of July, China will also impose its tariffs. And then everyone will wonder, is that the end or what's the next round? And so the Trump administration is creating a lot of uncertainty, unnecessary from my point of view, and it's got to concern investors in all tradable goods.
And now on the top of that, the U.S. decision widened the gap of key interest rates between U.S. and Korea, and now Korea's interest rate standing at 1.5%, which can trigger capital flight from Korea. So how do you think the economies in Asia will be affected by the decision?
Well, I would have thought not very much. I make 2 points. First, this latest increase was widely anticipated in the market, or should have been, because it was, you know, it was being forecast by many people. And secondly, you should not judge changes in U.S. monetary policy in isolation from the strength of the U.S. economy. If the U.S. economy is stronger than expected, the next rate increase may be 50 basis points. If it's weaker than expected, they may defer it from September to December, for example. And so the market, I think this particular increase, the market has anticipated. We've learned the behavior of traders. They pay attention to what other traders will do. So there may be a short-term effect, but as I say, any short-term effect will be overtaken after a few days or maybe half a week because this was actually anticipated. So we should not pay attention to day-to-day movements in capital, which are driven by traders and not influenced by fundamental forces, but what traders think other traders will do.
And now moving to Europe, it seems like the European Central Bank is also normalizing monetary policy, putting an end to the unprecedented bond purchasing scheme, also known as quantitative easing. Does that mean that the Eurozone economy is also fully recovered?
No, not fully, but it's getting better. It's better now than it was a year ago and better a year ago than it was 2 years ago. So there are signs of improvement, and the ECB, the European Central Bank, has recognized that. It kept interest rates unchanged in its recent meeting, but it announced that it was going to decrease its purchases of long-term securities. And so again, it's a step toward tightening, but they actually haven't taken the step yet. Europe, like the U.S., is very diverse. There are some parts of Europe that are very strong, particularly parts of Germany, where the economy is very strong, unemployment is very low. But there are other parts of Europe, notably Greece and Italy, where unemployment, particularly youth unemployment, is very high. And so the ECB's decisions have to be a compromise based on varying diverse conditions within Europe. But they've announced that they will cut back their purchases, and that's a sign of moving back to normality, but they actually haven't done it yet.
So ECB said the interest rates would stay at record lows at least until summer next year. And what do you think about that?
Well, I'm this is a compromise. Some parts of the European economy are very strong. We're talking about the Eurozone, not Sweden, Denmark, Britain, but the Eurozone, which the ECB makes monetary policy for. Some parts are very strong, particularly the Netherlands and parts of Germany. Some parts are still very, very weak, Italy and Greece. So this is a compromise decision. And like the Fed, the ECB will actually decide on actions meeting by meeting on the basis of what's happening currently and prospectively in the European economy.
Okay, that was Professor Richard Cooper from Harvard University. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you for having me.